Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 5 of Hey, Let's Go There. We're going to talk about episode 5 of Degrassi, The Next Generation, Parents' Day. So, hey, let's go there.
Hey, Liberty Girlfriend. You gave me a social disease.
You told me to play basketball.
New year, new look, new page.
Degrassi. Welcome back. I am Taylor. This is my first view through of Degrassi and the Next Generation. I'm joined by Brielle, who is a veteran of the show.
No, keep doing it.
All right. So episode 5, Parents' Day. Another one where it's just kind of meh. It does go into some topics that are relatable for children.
It's nothing
too crazy, though.
It's nothing bonkers. I actually did enjoy this way more than Family Politics.
I did too. Yeah.
I thought it was super funny and witty, and there's a lot of nuance and character. You get to see a lot of character intentions and things along that sort. So I thought it was more entertaining than Family Politics, but it's still not, you know, penis pumps and pedophiles, you feel me? It's still fun.
Yeah, so the episode starts off with Toby is worried about his parents coming to Parents' Day because they just can't stop fighting.
Yeah, I'm sure it can be very emotional and some, you know, even downright traumatic to be a child of divorce.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, so it kind of... And so many, you know, marriages end in divorce. So there's a lot of kids who can resonate with this feeling. And some kids are very lucky to where their parents won't be as snide in front of them. But there's some kids who have to deal with their parents getting into, you know, drag out fights. And that sucks.
Yeah. I can't imagine. My parents are divorced.
But my dad is dead.
Oh, are we leaving that in?
I don't know. We'll see. That plays well.
I'm so sorry. Well, my parents are divorced. Thankfully, I am very, very lucky that they never fought, never, you know, it wasn't, oh, you tell your father this or you tell your mother that.
It wasn't like you were a pawn.
Right, exactly. And I mean, they get along so much that my dad is like invited to Thanksgiving, like, you know.
Yeah.
It was just I was very lucky in that situation. So I can't, even though my parents are divorced, I can't really imagine being a child and having your parents just constantly at each other's throats. That is so emotionally taxing, I'm guessing. And I really feel for Toby in this episode. I really do.
Oh, definitely. There's a lot going on that rests on his shoulders that it shouldn't be when he's a 12-year-old. You know what I mean? And it kind of sucks that some parents don't, because going through a divorce, however the relationship ended for whatever reason, for the parents alone, it can be traumatic and heart-wrenching. And like you said, you tell your father this, or like what Toby's father says, oh, that's so typical of your mother and this and that. And it's like, come on. What's the point of telling me this?
That's like really damaging, because yeah, when a parent is tearing down the other parent in front of their child.
Yeah.
Like, oh, your mom sucks, blah, blah, blah. She's terrible, blah, blah, blah. It's just don't do that.
One thing in this cold open that I thought was very interesting is that it is unusual that that Toby's dad has like full custody of him.
Yeah, I was wondering that. I was like, huh.
We do find out the reason why later, but I thought that was so interesting because it just hit me that that's so rare. Especially since he's still seeing his mother. It's not like completely, you know, like she's a junkie or she's whatever. It's so interesting to see that. I'm like, oh, how progressive. But then at the same time, I thought it was probably just because that it's an easier break, or it's an easier understanding to have Ashley and her mother, and then Toby and his father.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like for the show, it's just like male, male, female, female. So I'm like, oh, okay. That's probably what they did it for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Toby is talking to JT about how he doesn't want his parents both at the parents' day. And they bring up poisoning the water or putting E. coli in it?
Putting E. coli in the water system so they can shut down parents' day.
The way it works now is perfect. Every other weekend with my mom, the rest of the time with my dad. And as long as they don't have to talk to each other, everything's fine.
Sorry, man. I didn't know it was that serious.
Yeah, well, it is that serious.
Hey, we could contaminate the water fountains with E. coli. That way they'd have to shut down the school, right?
There probably is E. coli in the fountains.
It's such a dumb little boy scheme of like, ooh, how are we going to ruin this? Let's poison everyone.
I know. And then, so I have a question for you, because Snake says that they test the school water on a daily basis. Like, why? Did something happen in the old show? That was like such a weird, oh, we test the water every day. Like, is that like a throwback to something that happened before?
I have no idea. But I would just assume that schools, for their insurance, probably have to test their drinking water. I don't know.
Every day, though?
I don't know. I have no idea.
And the way Toby looks at JT after Snake says that is so funny to me. Yeah. He's just like, are you hearing this shit? Yeah. Oh, my God.
It's so crazy. So, okay, one thing that I do like about this episode as well is how it's shot and how it's a fluid motion through the groups of kids going through their day. It's so natural. Like, we start off in homeroom, and then we go into someone talking in the bathroom, and then lunch, and then after school, and then parents' day. I just think it's really fun to see them, you know, flip back, and it just seems natural. Like,
yeah,
Manny and Emma are talking in the computer lab, and Sean is there, and then okay, cool, we have to keep up with Toby and JT. Guess who's in the back of the computer lab? They're there, and it just, everything feels natural, and it just makes me feel like I am going through the day with these kids. Actually, that's fun.
Yeah, I absolutely agree on that. It was very, very natural flowing progression of events in this episode. So after he and JT are talking and they talk about poisoning the whole school, the kids go to homeroom, and we see this interesting little sequence. I didn't know what was going on at first. I was like, what is happening? When they were just showing the NAK.
Yeah, the school news about kids.
Yeah, broadcast. And they're talking about squeegee kids.
Yeah, this is, okay, I understand that this is supposed to be about Toby and his parents, but I think Emma's plot is way more interesting, because yeah, I am livid about this broadcast.
Hi, I'm Ryan, and this is Nicole, and welcome to NAK, News About Kids. Today we'll be talking about something that infests major cities everywhere.
And we're not talking cockroaches, we're talking squeegee kids.
How this new epidemic of squeegee kids is infesting the cities, and they relate them to cockroaches. And all it is just kids cleaning your windshield on your car for cash. Like, it, okay, so it is weird that they're doing it just randomly. Like, yeah, whenever you stop at a street and they just clean off your windshield, that's strange. Normally, it's when people, you know, you're at a gas station, you pull up, someone washes your windshield, and they expect you to give them like $2 or whatever. Fine, whatever. I don't know if it's like an epidemic that actually happened over in Canada, if kids were just going around and doing that, but how dare they? Dare they call these kids, these poor kids, or relate them to cockroaches, and saying that it's, oh my God, how they're trying to steal your hard-earned cash for drugs and tattoos when you at most maybe give them like $2. Come on.
Yeah, I what, they make maybe $10 a day? Maybe.
That would be a good day.
Yeah, that would be a good day.
And I am just grossed out at someone wrote this. Like, someone at a news station or doing a new news broadcast for kids thought, this is going to be the best piece that we can put out in these kids' homerooms. Because what does this do for these kids? Absolutely nothing. Honestly, what is this going to – it's not like it's like Fox News, right? It's just going to be shown in schools. So what is this doing for me? And I understand Emma being mad, and she has every right to be, because it's gross. It is a horrible piece.
I'm absolutely with her on that. She says, you know, they're poor. That's how they're making their living. So, and I agree with her on that.
Yes, because
it's very classist the way that broadcast is written.
Exactly. It makes no sense. And also, this is what should be looked at. Why on earth do you have so many kids, squeegee kids out there having to make money this way? What is going on with Canada? Why aren't these kids being looked after, you know, being looked after? What's going on with your shelters or your programs or your whatever social service that you have to help kids in need? What is going on that there, you know, it's not enough? Is it underfunded? No shelters or whatever to look out for these children? And that's what should be written about.
I know.
No. Instead, we have to deal with this? Come on. And then we have Liberty Van Sant coming at, because she hears Emma express her distaste for the broadcast, goes,
"My father says that if another one of those ragamuffins tries to dirty up his window, he'll call the mayor. He knows the mayor."
Knows
he
the mayor.
Knows the mayor. First of all, I don't. Okay. What black person would say ragamuffins? But also, but oh, he knows the mayor.
Knows the okay. mayor.
We have to watch out. And so Emma's plot in this episode is because that she believes that the news is on the side of just sponsored endorsements. And like she said last week, they pushed military enrollment. Now, like you said, it's a very classist broadcast and message. What's going to be next? And it's sad because you have all these kids who very rarely look up information on their own to actually get a full scope on whatever the issue is. Like, instead of asking the question of why are all these kids so poor and they need this assistance, they're going to watch this news in their school, and it's going to say poor kids are bad, they're gross, and they're like cockroaches and infesting the city and yucky, yucky, gross, right? And they're just going to have that mindset of, you know, they're ragamuffins dirtying up windshields and they should be dealt with in whatever way they should be dealt with. And very rarely will you have a kid like Emma and just look at that and go, well, that's strange. You're not going to have that many kids do that.
Yeah, yeah. I really found it interesting that they decided to go, like, have Emma do that and behave that way and think that way, because a lot of kids would just watch that and adopt that mindset, or just not even really give it a second thought and just not give a fuck.
Exactly. They're going to see what they have on the news that's being pushed, or they're just going to, like Liberty, listen to what their parents are saying.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so frustrating.
So not only does she, you know, think that it's wrong what this broadcast is saying, she has the guts to go to the principal.
Yeah.
Like, she's so upset about it that she goes to Radich and she's like,
"NAK is totally biased. This morning they tell us squeegee kids suck, and then they tell us what kind of running shoes to buy. It's wrong.
Have you seen the new computers in the media immersion lab? 18 computers, thanks to NAK. In exchange, we show their morning broadcast."
And then he explains that they can broadcast whatever they want because they give them computers. They give the school computers.
Yeah, it's a sponsorship. So it's like, we give you funds, you do what we want. We have those rights because we're spending, you know, thousands of dollars. And it's just a measly broadcast. And so I do like this. Like you said, I love Emma. And this episode right here definitely showcases of why I love her so much. And even further in the episode, the confrontation she has with Sean's brother. Oh, beautiful. Mm-hmm. But first of all, unrealistic. I have never just walked into my principal's office.
That is true. I haven't either.
And I went to a very small Christian private for years with like graduating class had three people in it. And that was a big class, right? And even then, I've never just sauntered into my principal's office. was. And so she goes and she talks to him. I love that Radich doesn't just, what I would think would be the norm, run her off, be like, whatever, kid, they give us these computers. Who cares? You're not going to change this. He tells her to do, and he encourages her to write an op-ed. Mm-hmm. I think that's so cool.
Yeah, that was definitely, there's a lot of good messages, I think, as far as this Emma subplot is going on. Well, Toby's too, but
yeah,
you know, her being able to express her opinion so much and even like do that editorial piece.
The conversation that she has with Radich kind of shows Emma has the right idea in mind. She really does. It just sucks. This is how life goes because it is extremely hard to be an ethical consumer mm-hmm. and just an ethical person. And that's literally like the whole point of the Good Place, Beautiful Show is, okay, cool. You bought this apple. Awesome. I'm so glad you bought this apple and it's organic and you bought it from a mom and pop shop. But that, you know, the orchard and the people who work on this orchard are disenfranchised people who have to be bent over, not bent over because it's a tree, but be in the heat all day and they have to work 12 hours for 5 cents and this and that. But ooh, so glad you bought an organic apple.
Yeah, there's always a flip side.
Yeah.
Can we just talk about the part when Emma and Manny go into the computer lab and his bag is on a chair and Manny is just like, I'll just stand. Emma's talking about, oh shit, I can't remember what he says exactly.
She's talking, so Emma is talking about, let's put yourself in the mind of a squeegee kid. How would you feel being related to cockroaches and things like that? And Sean is sitting next to him, next to them, and he scoffs.
Yeah.
And he's visibly upset.
Yeah.
Right.
And so Emma asks him to move his bag. The face he gave her was absolutely terrifying. Yeah. He looked like he was going to kill her. I was like, oh, Jesus.
I have the clip for it and it's not going to do you any justice to hear it really, but you should definitely go watch this scene. But here we go.
We need the chair. Talk about negative energy.
That line, I had to rewatch that part 3 times. I knew it was Emma's voice, right?
Yeah.
But it didn't look like either of them were talking. So I was like, who the fuck said that? So I had to go back. And then I went back again and I could see Emma's lips just barely moving. And I was like, okay. But that line is so loudly delivered. I guess they put it in post.
Yeah,
but
probably.
I was like, yeah. It took me. I was like, wait, what's going on? Who's talking?
Yeah, I mean, he gets upset and it's so random that he's mad because like mm-hmm. we just need the chair. But like what happens at Parents' Day, it makes sense why he's upset and the anger, like he hears her conversation and he's heard her talk about it this morning as well. So I definitely get why he's upset here. But it later on, when we talk about it, it makes more sense. But I do want to mention something else going on in the episode before we get to Toby's big stuff.
Okay.
We also have some small things with Ashley and Paige.
Yeah. Yeah. So Ashley, she wants an agent, right? And she finds out Toby's mom, his biological mom, is a casting agent.
Yeah, she's a Hollywood agent.
Yeah.
We hear in the beginning that Ashley's announcements was bumped for the NAK broadcast. Mm-hmm. So Terry and Paige find her in the bathroom pouting. And they come for her so hard in this bathroom.
Uh-oh, here we go again.
Here we go what again?
Every time NAK claims your airspace, you go all manic depressive.
That is so not true. I just...
Look at this zit. That's a pore, and Paige has a point.
Yeah, they did.
Ashley cannot catch a break so far. Like, I understand, like, family politics. Everyone was up her butt telling how perfect and awesome and amazing she is and how she gets what she wants, blah, blah, blah. And in this episode, they read her for filth. So it's not nice. Like, Terry's supposed to be her best friend, and Paige comes in. Of course, you're in here sulking, you freaking whiner baby. You narcissistic little brat. Well, you couldn't do your announcements today. Of course you're in here crying about it. And Terry's just like, yeah, no, you do this every time. There's no understanding whatsoever. But they get the idea of Ashley getting an agent because here we go. This is the first mention of the elusive Heather Sinclair. So that's something you got to watch out for in the show throughout the series, the rest of the series.
Okay.
The name Heather Sinclair. And see if you can spot her. She's a Degrassi legend as well. Heather Sinclair has an agent. So they're like, Ashley, you should get an agent. This is so random and weird.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like it's like misplaced in the episode. I guess they just need to give the girl something to do.
That's that Seath subplot you mentioned, I think, last episode.
It's so strange because they're not giving Ashley a break so far. And it's like they want us to hate her in such a weird way. Or they want us to feel like she's super narcissistic and into mm-hmm. herself.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay, so there's two reasons in my brain of why they would put the subplot in here. Like I said, they want us to not like her, think she's narcissistic. We're seeing more sides of her personality and what she wants to be. So, of course, she wants to be famous. But I don't think that's the real reason. That's just the reason that I feel like people, when you rewatch, you come to the conclusion when you later on see the personality that Ashley is going to develop. That's probably the seeds that they're trying to sow there in the beginning.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's interesting because I thought the focus was more on Paige trying to once again, like, upstage, you know.
I feel like it's accomplishing that same goal for both people. But I feel like the actual reason of why they probably have made or probably had her be interested in getting an agent is because, like they said, she enjoys being on camera and reading the announcements. She has a personality that she loves. It just feels natural for her. So she maybe wants to pursue acting. That's the nicer version of probably what they were trying to go for. But at the same time, like when you get to know Ashley and how she works, you would think that of course she wants to be famous. Of course, all attention has to be on Ashley. But I do think that we are expanding on people's personalities in both ways for Ashley, but also for Paige, because in the last episode, you see Paige acting a mess and so horrific to Terry, and you have no idea why. And that she overhears, because she's in the bathroom with her, Terry and Ashley get the idea of getting an agent. And she just becomes instantly jealous for no reason.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, okay, she's just a jealous, conniving person, because you just see the gears turning immediately. She meets up with Spinner, who's trying to tell her this terrible joke.
Stupid joke, dude.
This terrible joke. And then she's immediately, do you think Ashley's prettier than me? Like, what? Why is this on your mind right now?
She's got some what's the word I'm looking for?
Self-esteem.
Yeah, she's got some self-esteem issues for sure.
Yeah, and it's like, okay, so that's the reason why she acted like that in Eye of the Beholder. She's extremely jealous of people, and she has self-esteem issues. Because it's like, it's so random. It's so funny. It feels so random to see Eye of the Beholder first, but I feel like if they would have switched Parents Day and Eye of the Beholder, it would have made just a little bit more sense, you know? You see Paige has this huge self-esteem and jealousy issue. Terry is the one who gets approached by Toby's mom. And so that would be a reason that she would be jealous of her. And then that would be the reason why she wanted to ruin Spinner's interest in her. I feel like it would have been better if they just flipped this episode, because you see intentions just a little bit more.
Yeah, I would have built it more, I feel like. I agree with that. Yeah.
And I feel like this feels like payoff, but I would have liked to see that tension, because I still, for the life of me, cannot understand. Eye of the Beholder is so, I just don't see her motivations to be acting this way. But now I do. It's the payoff.
Yeah.
But I would have liked to seen this first, I think.
Yeah, I agree with that. So then when Emma turns in her op-ed to Liberty, Liberty's like, you're 17 minutes late. Blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, girl, it's the school newspaper, not the New York Times.
Yeah.
And she's like, I guess I'll do this for you just this one time, or whatever she says. And I was like, okay.
Liberty is very uptight.
Yeah.
Later on throughout the show, there's going to be some episodes that are more Liberty focused. And to me, right now, I don't see a big difference between Liberty and JT. Sorry, what the hell? Liberty and Emma in terms of like type A personality and controlling in certain ways and outspoken. And even like JT, when they're at lunch, when Emma's like, oh my God, when she's about to go talk to Raditz, she's like, oh, I have to do something about this. JT just looks and he goes, must be tiring to be her or whatever he says.
Imagine being her for a day or yeah.
Something like that. Yeah. And Liberty does have a harder time fitting in certain ways that I think is unfair, because to me, Emma is the same. Like they're not too far off. They're two sides of the same coin. Emma is our main girl, so we have to love her. But poor Liberty.
See, that's interesting, because I don't know all this, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know the character development, so I'm curious to see where that goes to. So then we see Toby and JT in the computer lab, and Toby has the idea to forge a letter trying to get his dad to not go to Parents' Day.
He's just, you know, dead set on not having both parents in the same room at the same time.
Really, really doesn't want his parents to be together, which is so sad.
Yeah.
I don't blame him. Yeah, it's a smart plan. I don't blame him at all for trying that, because, I mean, that's so mortifying. It's embarrassing. It's upsetting. So I don't blame him at all.
In the cold open, JT mentions that they showed up at the same time at, you know, a day camp, and it was like World War III. Mm-hmm. So he wants to quit that from happening. And so he comes up with the brilliant plan, like you said, to forge a letter, but instead I have put it in such more eloquent words that Sir Tobias W. Isaacs would use, okay? Because he's so freaking big brain, right? Mm-hmm. So how to accurately describe this scene. All right, you ready? Is Tobias W. Isaacs is displaying his superior intellectual prowess. Only his genius mind could fathom to concoct this plan of action. Tobias gathers the pixels that form the Degrassi letterhead. Then he doth places that, and this is where his mind's knowledge leaps and bounds over the average seventh grader, okay? His instructor, Archibald Rupert Simpson's John Hancock, that he scanned from a past parcel that was sent home. And then on the letter, he says that on to the entrusted guardians of Sir Isaac's need not come to the Parents' Day event due to the size of Tobias's brain wee-wee, that he has uplifted his grades to a premium standard. And that's why they shouldn't come.
Yeah, and his dad absolutely does not fall for that.
Considering, like, he has a lot of spelling errors.
Yeah, yeah. He was like, there's not two E's in premium, dumbass. Nice try, though.
Have you ever forged your parents' signature for whatever reason?
Yes, I have.
I have as well. I got a D on something. And I have terrible handwriting. And my mother has amazing handwriting. I only learned cursive when I was in school up until the sixth grade. And then I learned how to write in print. And then I think she also only learned cursive. So that's all I wrote in for a long time. Oh my God, I hate writing in cursive. But I have terrible, terrible handwriting. Did you ever have penmanship as a class?
Yeah, we had to learn cursive and stuff.
I learned the graphite trick. I learned this in art, where you would just take a graphite and highlight it over the back of whatever signature that you want to have, and then put that on the piece of paper, your transfer paper, and then trace along the signature. And then it would transfer from the graphite, and there you would have that forgery. I can't write like my mom at all. And so I did that, but I didn't realize that it's not a fluid, or you have to do it like, it won't be a fluid transition, and you have to touch it up. I didn't know that. So it looked like her signature just looked like shit. It just looked bad.
Were you ever caught?
Oh, yeah. Freaking Miss Lindsay. Not Miss Lindsay. That was my science teacher. Whatever my social studies teacher's name was, she definitely told on me. And my mom was like, She wasn't like, I don't think she was like actually upset. Here, you know.
I don't know what, I never got caught. Now, I wasn't big-brained enough to do the graphite trick, but I was lucky enough that my mother's signature, whenever she did actually sign something, I remember throughout the years, several teachers had comments. They're like, is your mother a doctor? Because that's how short and weird and just nothing but scribbles her signature is.
Same, same.
So, yeah, mine's like that too now, but it was very, very, very easy to forge. So I just got lucky.
I mean, same for me. My signature is capital B, squiggle, 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 capital S, squiggle, squiggle, squiggle.
That's it. That's how my except for please, D and S of T and C.
I've never tried this, but it's another trick that you can do is you can take anyone's signature. Okay. Now turn it upside down because your brain then it's not hardwired to view it as a signature that you have to perfect. It's now just a shape you have to replicate if you turn it upside down. So then it's easier to forge someone's or to do a forgery or whatever that way. If you just flip up the signature upside down. I've never tried it, but I think it's interesting.
Huh. Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah. But his dad immediately knows.
Oh, he knows.
It was a bunch of nothing.
And he's like, so why don't you want me to go? You're obviously trying to get me to not go, so what's the reason? And Toby tells him, he's like, you and mom freaking fight. He says mom's going. And his dad immediately starts freaking out.
Talk to me, Toby.
Mom called, okay? She wants to go tomorrow.
And she didn't even tell me. You know, that is so typical of your mother. She just wants
to... See? You guys can't be in the same room without freaking out.
And Toby's like, see, this is why I don't want you to go. Because you guys can't even be... Like, you guys aren't even together and you flip your shit.
Yeah, I mention her and you're walling out.
Yeah. And his dad's like, oh, you know, we won't fight. We're on much better terms. It's not like how it used to be. Like, he didn't just almost flip his shit and start talking smack about Toby's mother in front of him.
Immediately.
2 seconds before.
Yeah.
So, you know, and that's kind of like a sad scene because it's like Toby's like, dude.
It's sweet. Like, you just see sweet baby Toby.
Yeah.
And he's just like, this is the length I have to go through in order to stop you from seeing each other. Like, I shouldn't have to do this. You should never put that pressure on your child.
Yeah. I mean, I could see how, especially if it's just the circumstances for like the reason of the divorce are just not good, that there's still going to be like bad blood. So we don't know the reason.
We hear a little bit of the reason why when they're arguing at Parents Day Surprise, they do fight. Toby's dad is, you put your work ahead of us. And then the mom says, oh, you don't even want to get me into the reasons why we divorced. So workaholic and then also maybe some, I don't know, maybe some infidelity. We don't know exactly. We just know it ain't good.
Right. And no, not if they're fighting like that. So, yeah. I mean, Toby's dad promises. He's like, we won't fight, but I'm like, I know they're going to because that's what they're setting. The show is setting it up like that.
The interaction between, you know, his mother, Paige, and Ashley is so awkward. It is so awkward.
Oh, my God. It was so cringy. Yeah.
Okay. So Toby has already mentioned that he goes to see his mother on the weekends or every other weekend. Ashley, just go with him when he's getting dropped off and then talk to his mom.
That's true. That's true. Yeah, it's Toby's mom. Yeah, I didn't even think about that. Exactly. But that is absolutely true. She'd have to speak to her that night.
You have access to this woman.
Yeah.
Just be like, Toby, like, what is your mother into? Like, what kind of looks is she going for? She has so much of an advantage, but it makes no sense. It makes no sense. But, okay, so on the top of that, I hated back to school night. Or did you call it something different at your school?
See, we never really had, other than like a teacher introduction day. Like, that's when you first go meet your teachers and your parents come.
Open house.
We never had like a parents' day. We never did that. Not that I could remember.
Yeah. So back to school night. I don't know if it's different. No, it's not different in Georgia. We've definitely done back to school night at Dutchtown, girl.
oh, my parents didn't go.
Yeah, and like not every parent will go, but we've definitely done it. Yeah. It's basically what you do around like the mid-semester and your parents come in and they see what you're doing in class and how you're doing. Like you, it's just a like midterms. It was so nerve-wracking to have to like go in there and at the every single, you know, I make C's and every single, you know, teacher would be like, oh, apply yourself more and this and that and this and that. It's like, piss off. Come on. Snape is such a jerk in his description of Toby.
Yeah, he was harsh. He was harsh.
Oh, yeah. He could be smart if he wasn't so dumb. It's like, yeah. Yeah. he could definitely do great if he did it. If he could just do it. And it's like, okay, how about this? Why don't you talk to Toby? And that's a prime time of Toby, is there anything I could be doing better? Is there any help that you need at home? Is there something about this or that? Genuine teachers that sit down and use that time to say, what is it that you're struggling with? Is it your attention span? Can you not, you know, are you having a hard time reading the board? Is something bugging you? Self-esteem issues? Can you not focus? There are so many things that could be helped. He does say it's eventually his video games. He's just mm-hmm. not applying himself because he wants to, you know, play games, which is fine, a valid reason. But instead, if he would have just asked him that, like, what's going on? This, that. And I know it's more so the parents that have to argue with each other. That's what we're supposed to care about. But seeing that scene makes me so sad for Toby. I'm just like, he's going through so much and now his teacher has to just
roast him. Yeah. You know, and it sucks because, you know, of course they start fighting in that scene and Toby kind of like, it's like, hey, y'all are doing this shit again. But the second that they're in each other's presence, just before this, they start doing passive aggressive bullshit, which is just as bad.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
even worse, honestly. Yeah. Like, because it's like there's tension, but you don't want to acknowledge that there's tension, but you're just creating tension. Mm-hmm. So now it's like, what do I do? Like, am I supposed to ignore the tension? What's happening here?
Yeah. And so, you know, of course, it culminates into an actual fight during this part. And the mother's blaming his dad. Oh, you should be doing his homework for him, basically. Yeah. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, it's like, what is, you know, the reason that he's living with you, and she calls her June Cleaver. I love Leave It to Beaver. But anyway, she calls her, she's like, the reason why they're living together is because you said that this would be a better choice academically. Like, it's the whole point that he's, you know, living with you. And so it's like, okay, well, and they, like, I believe Toby has mentioned this throughout the episode. When they start fighting, they immediately hit at custody, mm-hmm. which is a below the belt fight mm-hmm. or a tactic. When you do that, that is horrible. She's immediately like, oh, maybe you have to rethink this whole custody issue. Maybe he should be with me. If he's not getting it done here with you and June Cleaver, did you know that Leave It to Beaver was the first American TV show to picture a toilet?
I did not. Thank you for the fact.
Now you know. And wait, or were they the first show to picture a mother or a husband and wife sleeping in the same bed? One of those.
Anyway. Those are two very different things. Either, okay.
Either it's both or it's one of them. I can't remember, but I know because I love the show and I love the movie, the horrible movie. But it's like, oh my God, you don't do that. And it's in front of your kid's teacher. Have some decorum, just a little bit. Like, bicker in the hallway, something. But this, oh my God, it's too much.
And then when Toby, you know, after Toby, you know, goes off on him, and they just look so shooketh. Like, they are just like, oh, oh. And they're like, you know, looking around awkwardly. And then Snake is just like moving on. And he just has like the weirdest face. And I'm like, that whole scene is so awkward. And I feel so bad for Toby.
And I feel so bad for all those teachers who do genuinely have to go through that.
Because you know what happens all the time.
It's just like, okay, let's have a civil conversation with lowered voices, or we take a break and we come back later. But we can't do this right now. But no, they just don't have the civility to do that. And so one thing that I do want to mention here is another reason why I love this show so much and why I love Emma She is just showing all these young girls that they can be outspoken.
Oh, like absolutely.
They can stand up for themselves without a trope that they actually do for Toby in this scene, because his parents are arguing back and forth, blaming each other. And he's just like shaking his head and listening to them. And then finally he blows up and says what's wrong. That is typically what you see women or girls do in shows. It's such a contrast between Toby and Emma. The very next scene, how she's standing up for herself. I get to watch this when I'm young and see her not back down to Sean's older brother.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was saying some pretty harsh stuff too. I feel like, so Sean and his older brother come out. So Sean's older brother, he read her op-ed and he's like, yeah, this is garbage, blah, blah, blah.
It's not that serious.
What? Expressing my opinion isn't important?
Well, that's all my brother's trying to do.
I could tell, and he's wrong.
I'm wrong. Tell me, Emma, is it fair or is it wrong that Sean here is falling behind in school because we can't afford a computer at home?
He can do his homework here.
What, yeah, on the free computers, huh?
If you read the entire article, you would know that...
That's a piece of garbage.
It is not garbage.
Looks like garbage to me. Smells like garbage.
Tracker, man.
All I'm trying to say is that there's two sides to every story. Try to remember that next time.
And Emma's like, excuse me, it's not garbage. I wrote that.
Yeah.
And basically she's just like, you know, she stands up for herself. Mm-hmm. And at first he's like, oh, I'm sorry. But then she's like, oh, he's addressing Spike. And she's like, no. I wrote it. You're going to talk to me.
Exactly.
I was like, damn, she is fucking, I don't think I could do that. At 12 years old. I couldn't do that at 26. I'd be like, I don't know. Like, I would just be like, oh. And I think it's amazing that she stands up for herself and she's so strong.
Yeah.
To this dude and who sings such harsh things.
Like, does he not realize he's talking to a child?
Yes.
The way he's talking to her
is
disgusting.
And he's like, this is trash. Looks like trash. And he just crinkles it up or whatever. And she doesn't back down.
Nope.
She doesn't become intimidated. She doesn't like shy away. She's not put in her place. You know what I mean?
Nope. Yeah.
And also, I'm sorry, but if my child was like being spoke to like that, I would have ripped the dude's face off.
Yeah, Spike is just...
she's letting her handle herself, I guess, but she's just standing there.
Yeah, at the end, that is where you come in. You let her handle herself because she's doing a great job of doing that, but then you step in, and Spike is so cute. She's so short.
I was going to say, good Lord, she is so tiny compared to her.
Yeah, no. I do like that. Like you said, she doesn't back down. She's not put in her place. At the end, she doesn't look sad. It's not like she's going to cry or anything like that. She's just shaking her head like, ugh. Like how dare he talk to me like that?
Mm-hmm.
There is no worry in her at all. And beautiful, beautiful. Because like what you're going to – like typically to me – and I'm sure there's plenty of scenes where Degrassi is going to stumble in certain ways. But this one is a lovely, lovely view of it. And am I reading too much into it? Maybe. But this is the podcast and it's the point of it.
So, exactly.
So, like I said, like normally you see like a shy, timid girl and she's building up and then she explodes. Or you have like a boy or a man come to her defense. Like Sean will probably be like, you can't talk to her like that. And then Emma's like, yeah, you can't talk to me like that. And Emma's and then Sean's like, defend yourself. And she's like, yes, you've given me permission to defend myself.
Mm-hmm.
Nope. We get none of that. Instead, we get this beautiful, beautiful act of like just strength. Oh, I love Emma. Oh my God, does she do some crappy things? But in this moment right now, it's why I will always say I love Emma. She is the worst.
Yeah, this episode really made me start liking her a lot more.
Yeah.
So after this, Parents' Day is over. It's kind of winding down. It goes back to Paige and Ashley just jumping all over Toby's mom.
Yeah.
And Paige just kind of cuts in and gives her a photo of herself.
In her dumb outfit. Yeah.
a little something to remember me by. And Toby's mom is like, okay.
She's just staring at it.
Yeah. She's
oh, how did it go? And then Paige jumps in and she's like, oh, Toby, oh my God, hun, we're going to keep you in line and this and that, or I'm sure you can get it together. In the background, Ashley's dad is making eyes at Ashley, pointing to Paige behind his hand or behind his program. And he mouths something like, who's your friend? And he makes this face where he is so.
I didn't see that. I was too.
In the background, he takes the program, he blocks it with his fingers, and he's pointing at her going like, who's your friend? And he just makes the, it is so funny because it is so obvious she is being so phony when she goes and consoles Toby. It is so obvious.
Yeah, it's so awkward.
Being so phony, and it makes no sense. And then also they do something else that pisses me off where when she's, where she jumped in front of Ashley to give the picture, and like I guess Ashley maybe had like her CV or something, and then you know Toby's mom turns and leaves. Ashley's just like, "Welp, that's my only chance to talk. I couldn't say, and hey, wait, I have something for you too, or one second, can I leave this with you?" She just lets her leave.
Yeah,
she's like, "Oh, Paige got the last photo in, I guess." I hate that in scenes where it's just like this person spoke first, so that automatically means the next person can't talk. That makes no sense. That's not how life works.
That's
just
true.
Be like,
yeah,
oh, excuse me, I have something for you too. Oh, come on.
But also, like you said earlier, like she has other opportunities to speak with this woman. So
yeah, ample access. Goodness gracious. But then we all get a lovely surprise where I don't know if I like it because, again, I have two sides or I have two points where I'm not sure how I feel about the ending scene where everyone gets shown up or not really. But Toby's mom goes to Terry and hands her her card and tells her she has an interesting look and to talk to her if she wants to get into acting. And then you know, cut back to Ashley and Paige, and they just have, they're shooting daggers over at, what's her name? Over at Terry. And then it ends, or not really. Well, that scene ends. I'm not sure how I feel about that. I don't know, because on one hand, I'm like, oh, they're showing that you don't have to always be so super try hard. And if you're just yourself, people will notice you and blah, blah, blah. Or, are we supposed to feel like, are they upset because they didn't get picked, or are they upset because the quote unquote fat girl got noticed and they didn't? I don't know.
Yeah, I initially thought it was probably because like the try hard thing. Like,
yeah.
She wasn't trying for it, so she got it. But that you have an interesting look line is just,
it's
what does that mean?
Exactly.
What does that mean? Like, what, am I ugly? Like, what do you mean, ma'am? Yeah, I feel like it was probably just one of those things where it was just kind of thrown in there and they didn't really think about it, but you know, it can be interpreted as something, you know.
Yeah.
So then the next day happens. Is it the next day?
Yeah.
I really, really like this scene. Is when Emma goes into the computer lab and she sits down next to Sean and she just sends him a little email apologizing. I was like, oh my God. And I don't know why it popped up so huge, like new message and flashy. Yeah. I was like, I don't remember it doing that, but okay. But he opens it and he reads it. And I just think it's just so cute and wholesome. And that they're just both kind of like apologizing to each other and they come to an agreement. And Emma admits one of her faults and she's like, I'm a little outspoken. It runs in the family.
Yeah.
And I just really thought that scene was very wholesome.
It's so cute. I love that scene too, because I guess we were too busy going off on Tracker Travis. We didn't actually like really explain why he was so upset about the op-ed was because Sean has fallen behind in school because he doesn't have a computer at home, so he can't get all of his work done he doesn't have, they don't have the means to. So the computers right. are the lifeline of getting his grades up. So he, Travis is upset that someone would be offended about his brother having an opportunity, you know, his educational opportunity to get ahead or whatever. So that's what they're upset about there. And which is, again, feeds back into why Sean was so huffy and why he left in the scene where she's talking about writing the op-ed. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you understand more so why he's upset about it. And yeah, they do have like come to an understanding, even though while she's not put in her place verbally, like she's not intimidated, she understands, like Rad has tried to explain to her earlier as well. You know, it's means to an end. And while we may not be able to, you know, you may not be able to get the outcome, we may have to still air the NAK broadcasts, it's still producing a positive outcome like Sean. So she gets to see and understand. She gets full understanding mm-hmm. of what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And oh my God, but it's so cute. They're so cute. And they're just like, oh, it looks like garbage, smells like garbage. Like they joke about it and there's yeah, no bad yeah. blood between them. And he apologizes for his brother's actions because he's gross. Oh my God. He's talking to a child. Like, come, I can't, yeah. I can't get over. But oh, they are so cute.
That's what her, you know, coming to that realization of the flip side of it and, you know, being the bigger, not the bigger person, but just being a good person and yeah. apologizing to Sean about that. And yeah. just being, you know, I'm outspoken. I have my opinions. That's why this episode, I'm sure, like you said, she'll have her bad moments. But this episode, I really thought that Emma got some very good. She's shown. Like, she got that good character development. And I really, it made me like her a lot more as a character. This yeah. episode did.
Yeah. Love it.
And
so good.
And yeah. And the final scene, after that chef's kiss scene, is Snake kind of, you know, talking to Toby. He's like, hey, I'm sorry about your parents and blah, blah.
No, are they always like that?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But then he's like, don't f- my signature. What does he say? He says something very bizarre. I was like, what?
He says, erase the file from the server. I don't know what he means.
I don't know either.
He just the letter is useless from now on. Erase the scan signature that you used to for. What do you want me to erase? I don't know what he wants and because it's useless now.
The server? Like, does he mean like the hard drive? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, that he means the hard drive.
So he just confronts him on the forgery, which is, you know, you can't allow that to slide. That's not yeah. good. And he tells him to write a 10-page essay due tomorrow.
I did not write 10 pages until I got to college. 10 pages?
Yeah, I was like, that's a little excessive. Like, maybe 3, maybe 5. Yeah.
He's in the 7th grade. Come on
but
now.
But 10? Like, what are you gonna? Yeah. What is he going to say? Oh, I'm sorry, over and over. Forgery is bad, over and over and over again. There's only so much you can write.
The perils of stolen identity. I mean, the scene ends on a good note. You feel like Toby's parents are truly good at a try. He is seen and understood, and he's not, they don't brush off like, oh, we don't act like that. That's not what we do. They understand what they're doing is hurting their kid, and they acknowledge it, and they try their best, or they say they're going to try their best to go ahead and correct the issue. So that's good. That's also a good thing because it could have easily gone along the lines of like, nah, we don't do that. Like your parents are bound to do. Oh, you're telling me a fault that I have? Nah, I don't have that.
So yeah, I'm glad he got that closure there. And I'm glad that Emma and Sean kind of had their own little ending. I really, as kind of bland, not bland, basic as this episode was, I actually really enjoy this episode.
Yeah, it's so good. I love it.
Yeah, I like this one a lot, and I'm looking forward to the next one. So join us next time. We are going to be talking about episode 6. What's the name?
I thought you were going to say it. It's called the mating game.
Well, I don't know. What's the name?
The mating game.
Okay. The mating game?
Yeah, mating, like fucking.
Okay. All right. So yeah, join us next week on episode 6, The Mating Game. Curious to see what that is about.
What do you think it's about? Just like a quick, like 30 second synopsis of what may go down with certain characters.
All right. There's going to be sexual tension between three people, and there's going to be fucking underage fucking.
Listen.
And that's am I right?
All right. I can't wait for you to watch it.
As always, we'd love to hear your crazy, wacky high school stories. You could send those over to us at our Twitter, LGT_pod, or our Gmail and Instagram, Let's Go There Pod.
Let's end this thing, okay?
Okay. Bye.
Phoenix!